Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with Jalen Ramsey. The Jalen Ramsey camp is big mad at that dude, Marcellus Wiley. On yesterday's show, Marcellus had an interesting take on whether the Kansas City Chiefs should pursue the Pro Bowl cornerback who has asked Jacksonville to trade him.
Rolling the dice and saying, no, let's poach our team of a first-round pick and a starter to bring in Jalen Ramsey, who, I remind you, despite the perception and the love for his game, he was 24th ranked as a cornerback last year coming out of the season. This year, in 2 weeks, he's already dropped to 89th ranked. So if his trajectory is going south and your team's trajectory is going north, why is this a conversation? No to Jalen Ramsey.
These comments caught the attention of Ramsey's agent, David Mulugeta, who tweeted a rebuke of that dude's opinion, saying, quote, "So, Marcellus Wiley, this is what we've come to. Just say the most outlandish thing you can think of and hope you get some attention. Go pull all the wide receivers in the NFL and see where they rank Jalen Ramsey. I would expect more from you, but I guess these days it's all about shock value." Get me a gas mask. It's getting awful smoky up in here. Lord have mercy. But that's not all. Marcellus woke up the entire Jalen hive. Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson chimed in tweeting, "I don't think I agree with this." Tennessee Titans safeties Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro tweeted clown emojis at Marcellus. And in a case of charger-on-charger crime, Charger safety Derwin James sent clown emojis to Marcellus, too. And finally, Detroit Lions safety Quandre Diggs, the brother of longtime San Diego Charger and former Marcellus teammate Quentin Jammer, came at that dude's head, tweeting, "Some of these old heads get on TV and lose their minds. Marcellus Wiley be real, dog. Quit clowning. Lord, 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 it's smoky up in here this afternoon." But I have to say, this does feel a little bit like an overreaction. I disagree with what Marcellus said about Ramsey. I think the Chiefs should pursue Jalen. He has a chance to be the next Deion Sanders, a.k.a. Rambro. But all Marcellus did was reference the grades of Pro Football Focus. Ramsey will be the featured star of tonight's Thursday night football matchup between the Jags and the Titans, with the whole world watching. Ramsey can showcase his Rambo-like abilities and put a clown suit on Marcellus and Pro Football Focus. Is Ramsey as insecure as his camp? Will he fold under the spotlight he placed on himself with his trade demand? Is it wise for the Jaguars to even play Ramsey tonight? All right, we're joined by Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Dickerson and TJ Husmanzada. Marcellus,
yes,
they came for your head.
They did.
Are Ramsey and his supporters confident heading into tonight's game?
Are they confident?
Yeah.
You would think they would. And I'm going to preface all this by saying I think Jalen Ramsey is a beast. I said that yesterday. But, you know me, facts over feelings. Stats over sensitivity, y'all. And y'all just showed me some insecurity. So it's interesting, since y'all don't like facts, I'm going to give you some more. How about you guys been targeted 17 times this year, allowed 11 receptions, 2 touchdowns, and a passer rating of 124.1? That doesn't sound too good. See, y'all bringing this out of me. I'm just going to read your numbers. By comparison, the number one corner by Pro Football Focus is Stephon Gilmore. You know what his rating is this year? 41 opposing quarterbacks. So there is some thing to these numbers. And I'm going to take it even deeper and get a little personal with you. Because there was about a 3-year stretch in my career where people were arguing, was I the best defensive end out there? Some said top 5 for sure, but some were arguing he's the best out there. I'm setting franchise records for contracts. I'm out there beasting, replacing Bruce Smith. And you know what's funny about that? It wasn't a damn metric. It wasn't a damn Google search you could have ran to ever found my name as 89th ranked in anything. So that, to me, is damnation of something that you need to look into beyond how you feel about it. When I fell off, oh, all of them said I was 89 or whatever. And Jalen Ramsey has not fallen off. But Jalen Ramsey has a style of play that is not being supported by the scheme he's in, and then you are in that crossroads. We've all been there as players. Man, if they call this, if they let me do this. The ballers, when I was balling, it didn't matter. But now it's mattering for these agents. And it's interesting, a bunch of agents hit me up about this, like, David tripping, but I ain't gonna get involved with this, but let me tell you how this goes. There's a difference between being an agent and being representation. And what's happening now is that these millennial agents getting certified in glamour school get their feelings hurt, enable their same players to go on GQ and clown every quarterback. But then when you come back with some facts, some numbers, some metrics, they can't take the same smoke they deliver. But representation knows that I am preparing and representing a professional athlete in a professional manner for not just the game of football, but the game of life. So, David, you don't know me, I don't know you. We could keep that way or we could break bread. Either way, I'm still going to start talking with these facts and I'm going to end with these facts. Your feelings, no concern of mine.
Man, they ain't coming at Marcellus no more.
They ain't coming at Marcellus no more.
Don't do this. I got more.
Let's answer the question. Are his supporters confident heading into tonight's game? I would be. Mariota isn't a quarterback that's going to scare you. They don't have a receiver on the Titans that's going to scare them. Now, when I look at Jalen Ramsey, me being a former receiver that played, I think he's a good DB. And you look at the pro football.
He could be offended by that. Good DB.
When you say good, I don't know who's the best because I'm not playing against him. Ooh. I would rank him top three.
Based off his performance this year and last year?
I mean, if you look, you look at Pro Football Focus, he's been pretty consistent every year. 102 targets in 2016, 106 targets in 2017, 97 targets in 2018. He's given up 54, 57, 53 catches. That's pretty consistent in a three-year span.
Yeah.
Same amount of yards, give or take. Same amount of interceptions. Same amount of PBUs, give or take one or two. And so he's been pretty consistent. How they grade this, I don't know. But statistically, he's been pretty consistent. Now, this is what I will say. I trained a guy this year that was in Jacksonville. And I said, how good is Jalen Ramsey? He straight up, dog, he the truth. That's what he told me. And that's all I can go off of.
Right.
Keelan Dahl said to me, God, he's the truth. And I wasn't able to play against him. When I watch him, he seems to be one of the better DBs in the game. But, yeah, Marcellus hurt some feelings yesterday. And to me, like, why they make it personal? All the clown stuff, come on, man.
No, take the clown stuff. I just laugh at when they don't like what they want to hear. I never got into that zone when I played.
We didn't have emojis and all that stuff. We didn't have all that kind of stuff. You know, you said it best. You know, when a guy that played against you, or like, we're not playing now. We're not there every day. But other players, Deshaun Watson says, you know, hey, this guy can play. When as a former player, and you know this as well as I do, Marcellus, and so do you, TJ. You know, when guys can play, you know who can play and who can't play. When you're on the field, the guy may not have the greatest number. You're like, hey, dog, this guy can play.
Ball.
He balling. Mm. You might not see it. It's sometimes the intangibles. It's the things you can't. It's not always about the numbers. You know, Football Focus don't play football. They just give you their thoughts. They ain't covered nobody.
Right.
One thing about a defensive back is I've got to guess where you're going. I'm the receiver. You know, when you break the hole, you know your route, don't you? I'm over there. I've got to guess where you're going every play. You know, so for sure, when you hear other guys say, hey, man, like you said, he's the truth. You got to take that for what it is.
The thing I would say, though, Eric, is why I think they're a little bit shaken here is because the guys at Pro Football Focus are the same types of guys that make decisions on what your trade value is.
But they make...
So if the Jacksonville Jaguars are sitting there, we want 2 first-round draft picks for this guy, and Jalen wants out of there, and he wants someone to give that up, but the evaluators are saying, hey, there may be a problem here, let's be a little bit careful, that's what scares them. If his stock was seen across the board at what his ability says it should be,
yeah,
I think teams are quicker to give up what Jacksonville's asking
you
for.
You say what they want. You say what they want. Hey, I want a Jerry Curl back again, too. Like, they have one.
In the goggles, right? I mean,
you might, what you want and what you get is two different things.
But look, Whitlock is onto it. You got to follow the money to see where this is really going. David was upset that he thinks that my opinion could affect the money of his client in terms of trade value and his next contract. When, last time I checked, ain't nothing I could, when I was getting it, bruh, I don't care who criticized it. They had numbers. They had film. You can't out-talk that. So I don't know why you offended now and you want me to get in the echo chamber with you and say only glowing things when they are actually in any negotiation going to push back on you and they're going to use things like this. So it's amazing that numbers support your argument until they don't support your argument. So, David, you got clients out there that are balling out of control. You got Derwin James, Charger, my guy. I don't care what he thinks of me. I'm a clown, but to me, you still a beast. Fifth rank Pro Football Focus. I bet you David
I mean, they teammates in college, though. He gonna defend them.
Oh, no. I ain't mad at that. But I'm talking to David, who's gonna use that fifth rank upstairs one day and say, you know, my guys are the top five in already 1 year. It's good for you, but it ain't bad for you. Which way do you want to play that? So I got a real issue.
But I'm gonna tell you what their real fear is, again, because yesterday when you said those things,
mm-hmm.
and just by even pointing a finger like, hey, here's where Pro Football Focus, it made me go, oh, I need to take a closer look.
And I gave you a closer look today.
Right.
But when you have to keep getting close, too. How close you want to go.
So that's a narrative they want to avoid for the reasons you're talking about. They want people to trade for him. And when he gets traded, he wants to be the highest paid defensive player.
Well, this is not the way to go about that if you don't want this narrative out, because y'all actually put it out. I mean, our show, we got a lot of ratings going around here. It's good. But y'all helping it, which is not helping your cause.
I probably need to understand the Pro Football Focus rankings a little better. I don't know how your 91.3 rating in 2017 and you gave up more receptions in 2017 than you did in 16 and 18. And so I don't know how all this stuff is graded.
Yeah.
Off the eye test and just watching him play, he's one of the best DBs in the league.
No question.
When you're in Jacksonville and you're losing and you feel like you don't have – they had one good year when he was there. Sometimes, and it sucks to say, you just kind of go through them. I don't want to be here no more, man.
That's it.
I don't want to play, man.
That's the guy teams are afraid to pay.
But this is the thing, though, Jason. When you – guys that are true competitors, when you pay them, they want more. He the type of, the way he had A.J. Green lose his cool. A.J. Green don't even talk. He had a guy lose his cool during the game because he was in his head so much. He's the type of guy, you pay him, he's going to want more. You put him in a winning situation, a good environment, I believe he's going
to
thrive.
But once again, we get back to the same thing I said before. Everything can't be conducive to just you. This is a team game. We can't just run press man, Jalen. I know you are a beast in press man. Not the same in zone. But sometimes it calls for zone. Oh, I got to put you in a winning situation to get winning performances and you to buy in. Another team is leery of that because everywhere you go, there you are. What happens when we face adversity on this new team? What happens when we get that bump in the road on this new team? Now, you already showed me your psychology,
when
bro.
When you say face adversity... Face adversity in Jacksonville, that's adversity every week.
I've played 2 years and didn't get one sack. I know what adversity feels like.
And so that's a different type of – you play with a team like the Chiefs, what adversity are they hitting with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid?
That's a different ball game.
Oh, everybody can play on a winner, huh?
That's what
it makes it easy. Look, you've heard me say this before. When you winning, I don't care what's going on. He could be getting beat, but they winning – man, we having a good time over here. It don't even matter almost when you're winning. If he does go to the Kansas City Chiefs, they see something that maybe Football Focus don't see. They say, hey, look, he fits our scheme. He fits our defense.
Well, they see what most everybody sees, potential.
He's a beast, too. Production and potential.
Hey, you put him with Pete Carroll style of defense?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That style of defense in him?
Uh-huh.
He'll be the best DB in the league.
We like to have
with
him.
With that style of defense.
All right, quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you all agree he's on the trading block? There seems to be thoughts that on Friday he could get traded. He's going to play tonight against the Titans. Is that smart for the Jaguars to do?
Yeah, it is smart. And I know it's a little counterintuitive in terms of why would you put him out there at the injury risk. But this is the problem. If you're Coach Marone, you're like, I got 52 other dudes who know that there's no safe place between I want to be traded, but you still on this roster wearing the black and teal, guess what? I need you on the field. Upstairs is doing their business. Your agent is doing his business, and I'm going to take care of my business, which means if you are healthy and you are able, you are going out there and playing this football game unless I get some other instructions. But you can't start to open up that can of worms for any culture, winning or losing, that says, I don't feel like being here. I want to go. And until that moment, I just tap out. He's not suspended. He's not hurt. It's just a horrible message to tell everybody else in there. When you don't feel it, you ain't got to do it.
They should not play him. If it's a possibility in their minds that we're going to trade him, you don't play him. You don't risk the injury. You have a chance to get draft picks to help your franchise out. Now, you say, oh, the other guys. There's only a handful of guys on each team that can demand stuff like this and can get away with it. That's it. And out of those handful, it's probably only one or two that's really in them to do that type of stuff.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen often. You should not play him. If they say he's going to be traded on Friday, no way. Come watch the game, say goodbye to your teammates, and we'll see you on your way. But he should not play at all.
I think he should play. I mean, I think people are afraid. You think about Earl Thomas. I think we'll go back to that. But he's a cornerback. He's not a receiver. He's not a running back. He's not going to get real filthy. His job is to cover.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most important thing. So you do play him. Let's say he goes out there and has two picks. Now the price goes up. Hey, man, it can say, hey, This is why we want two first-round picks for him.
If I'm Jalen Ramsey, I get why he wants to play Thursday Night Football. Yeah. Whole world's going to watch. He gets to showcase his abilities. Yeah. If, again, like Eric said, if he does come up big, it helps the trade and it helps him get paid.
Hey, guys. This is Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save enough money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for the future or visit pacificlife.com.
Whitlock and Wiley, TJ Houshmandzadeh is back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Jets safety Jamal Adams, who didn't have a great showing Monday night against the Browns. Adams got flagged for a late hit on Baker Mayfield and later got benched after back-to-back penalties for offsides and encroachment. Yesterday, Adams got fined $21,000 for the hit and took to Twitter to vent his frustration, writing, quote, "This league is a damn joke. I just got fined $21,000 for this hit. I signed up to play football, not two-hand touch. Bull bleep. I don't give a damn about these soft rules protecting quarterbacks. I'm going to play my brand of football every time I step on the field." Shaking my head.
That's how you talking. LSU.
All right. LSU. Does Jamal Adams have a point?
No, doesn't have a point. I played the position of where you get to contact the quarterback the most, on defensive line, defensive end. And we started to learn, even before these rule changes, that is restricted airspace. You have a step maximum. You can try and play it off even in that one step. This is almost two steps. Now, what's the motivation of this? Well, you're on Monday Night Football, so we know that getting to Baker Mayfield, that's going to be something of magnitude. But I don't like this for one reason. Why don't you just get there in time? Or like I did, a many a plays, damn it, next play. Because if it was about me getting there late and still getting a hit, or all that would happen is imaginary sacks, but real penalties. And this is just a trip about this. Is like, I think this is part of this tough man mantra that people were trying to sell. But the toughest thing about playing a position is doing it the right way and still excelling in it by playing it by the rules. And I just don't like things like this. And then you come out with the premeditated, already scripted, tough man speech, when you knew in the moment that you were doing the wrong thing.
I mean, I think he has a point, to be honest with you. I know once I got out the league, it was just crazy how the NFL started doing guys will get fined for a face mask. I'm not really trying to face mask it, but you're going to fine me $10,000 for a face mask. I got a 15-yard penalty to hurt the team. Now you're going to fine me $21,000. The tweet, I don't mind it. I think everything after the BS, he should not have put in the tweet. Now, I don't give a damn about these rules. So now, your next penalty, your fine probably going to double. It's going to be 40-some thousand. And then after that, you're going to double that, and then you're probably going to get suspended. And so he should have left that out of there. I get sometimes you just take a penalty. Like, I run 40 yards. I'm tired. I'm going to hit you. You get penalty, and you take that fine. Like, come on. Like, give me the penalty. Don't fine me. Give me a warning. Okay, I got you.
I'm with you here. I think he does have a point. And for me, honestly, as an offensive player, watching the way the game has transpired, it has changed. And for a defensive guy, it probably does appear to be softer. But these are rules that have been set in place, man, that you are going to have to abide by. You said it best. That back end of that tweet about playing his brand of football and he doesn't care. No, you better care. Yeah. You have to care. Because you can say all of that. That's all great. You have a point. You did take a step, maybe a step and a half. But if Baker pumps and that ball comes down, then you need to make a play. So I don't mind him what he did. But you have to care, because on Tuesday, every single week, if you think your brand of football, which is deemed to be illegal, if it's this, you're going to have that FedEx package in that locker every Tuesday. And after that, you're going to start getting suspended.
But I don't like this hit at all.
Yeah, me either.
I don't get it. First of all, because he lowered his helmet.
He didn't really hit him hard.
He lowered his helmet. That was one.
Come on, y'all.
And let's just cut a bit deeper. Mm-hmm. Who's his defensive coordinator?
Of course.
Greg Williams. Mm. Who was the Browns' interim coach that led him to some victories and felt like he should have got the job? Who was the quarterback that said, no, make my friend Freddie Kitchens the head coach? So I don't think the league has a choice here. OBJ was talking about Greg Williams before the game, dirty hits. And lo and behold, there's a dirty hit or semi-dirty hit on Baker Mayfield. The league has no choice here. And to me, Jamal Adams is throwing up a smoke screen. Here's he got thing. Bent.
You say you like the old style of football, Jason.
That's a dirty hit, though.
In the new rules, think about it. There's two levels to this. One, let's talk about the physical play right there. There's 3 points of contact. Like you said, he lowered his head, then he hit him with his torso, and then the extension of the arms. Look, all of that is voluntary. We all play football. I played that position. That doesn't happen unless choice. I am actually trying to do something, whether it's in messaging or just living up to my mantra. Two, the NFL protects what? The shield?
And the quarterback.
And the quarterback. That's the engine, brother. And it's already restricted airspace and rules in place. Why violate it?
I get that. But we're saying, I'm not trying to deem whether or not this is legal or illegal. But if we're going to break this down, like, he is not leading with his head.
No,
like,
he lowered it, though.
He lowered it.
Every time a defender makes a hit,
if you go to tackle me, your head's gonna drop every single time.
First of all, we are taught to actually have your head up like this. Yeah, we're not taught like this.
How many times have you actually tackled and your head was up?
326 times.
Get out of here.
Damn it. You know what? I love this. We act like every micro movement is not calculated until it becomes an issue. Then it's like, I couldn't stop. For $1 million.
He could have stopped.
Jamal Adams, for $1 million, don't touch him.
100%.
He got that money, right?
He could have stopped.
Don't lower your helmet. You got that money. Don't push him.
You show me a tackle this Sunday in the NFL where somebody makes a tackle that's not shoestring where they don't lower their head.
Oh, I will.
That's fine. It's almost impossible.
Look, I'm old enough to remember, y'all old enough, they used to call this a delivery sack.
Yeah.
Yes.
They've illegalized the delivery sack. Mm-hmm. They've made it crystal clear.
Damn.
And to me, the delivery sack to me is really for defensive linemen. A safety running up from that far when the guy clearly had released the ball. There's no reason to have a delivery sack. Again, he got benched, played poorly, had 3 penalties, counting this one, and got benched, and now let's throw a smokescreen. The NFL's a damn joke. Nah, bruh. And Jamal, I'm sure you're a hell of a player.
Oh, yeah,
And so, you were the joke on Monday night, and they fined you for it. And again, let's don't pretend like these young guys are stupid and live in a vacuum. He knows the smoke between Greg Williams and the Cleveland Browns organization, and he's out there caping up for Greg Williams, and it cost him $21,000.
I just look at the amount of the fine. $21,000 for that hit?
For that?
That's a lot
of money. I would have went 40. Based on all the circumstances. Greg Williams, this is a quarterback we're trying to build around. OBJ talking before the game about it. I would have hit him even worse than that in the pocketbook.
So you can't
tweet would have been a lot
that's
worse.
All, that's all allegations.
Look, when I played, this was a real thing. I hit Peyton Manning high. Bruce Smith hit him low. I'm aiming right here, but since Bruce undercut him, boom, I hit him dead in the head, $10,000. This is 20 years ago, $10,000. And that was with no intention.
Whitlock and Wiley, Eric Dixon and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Let's move to Cam Newton, who has been dealing with a foot injury this week and now reportedly is unlikely to play Sunday after missing practice again today. Cam has had a rough start to the year as the Panthers have fallen to 0-2. And today, Ron Rivera got a little testy when asked about his quarterback.
Would you think Cam would travel in either event, or would that be decided tomorrow?
See, you guys want to watch, sit there and watch, so you'll have to wait and see. I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys. I mean, let's talk about it, Arizona. I mean, I haven't really talked about Arizona, you know, so it'd be good to answer those kind of questions.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, you know, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
You felt before the opener, you were 100% confident he was going to be ready to go. Where are you on that level now?
I just asked you to ask me questions about somebody else. I'm not going to do this anymore, okay? I told you, I won't know anything until tomorrow, okay? Thank you.
Hot 100. Ron Rivera a bit testy here. Do you think the Panthers still view Cam Newton as their franchise quarterback?
Absolutely, as they should. But there is some conversation going on about, is this the new Cam Newton? Injury prone, undermining his greatness because of injury. And if that's the situation, you can start to see them licking their fingers, grabbing the corner, top right corner of the page, not flipping it yet, but starting to get into that mindset of maybe we have to start thinking of alternatives. And it's unfortunate. Cam Newton, by the numbers, no touchdowns this year running or throwing. That's been four games with no passing touchdowns going back to last year. He has the highest errant throwing percentage in the NFL. That means uncatchable balls for TJ Houshmandzadeh, the highest. So I know it's injury related. I can see that. I believe that. But if you're an organization that has to do its due diligence and prepare for what's next, there is some internal conversation of, is this the new Cam Newton?
Yeah, they still view him as a franchise quarterback. But when you go 0-8 in your last eight starts, it's some doubt in their mind saying, is he still our franchise quarterback? And when I look at it, like, he's averaging 286 yards passing this year. That's more than he's done in his entire career. What he's missing, and if he's really hurt, is the mobility from a running perspective. His foot's hurt. He can't run the ball. And that's what's missing. He's always been erratic throwing the ball. That's nothing new. He hasn't been the most accurate passer, but he's been effective because he's been able to run the ball. And so if he can get his foot right, but he better hope Kyle Allen don't go in there and play well, because in Kyle Allen's only start last year, he had 111 passer rating. So if Kyle Allen, if Cam Newton misses more than one game and Kyle Allen balls, then they can say, maybe he's not our franchise quarterback.
Mm. Isn't it funny how, didn't I tell you, when you're 0-2 and you're 2-0, how the difference is?
Man.
You see how the coach is? When you're 0-2, and if you're 2-0, no, he would answer that question, no problem. Of course he's our franchise quarterback. You know, we're struggling right now. We still won, but see, they're 0-2. I believe that Cam is still the franchise quarterback, but I think a lot of people want to see that old Cam when he won the MVP. And we haven't seen that in a while. And sometimes, I mean, it's because of injuries. I mean, and you're right. Cam is a scrambling quarterback. He's a guy that can get out of trouble. He's a big target. He's, a quarterback that's taking a lot of shots. And he's a quarterback. They still treat him like almost like a running back. But I still say he is the franchise quarterback there.
I think there's real doubt, and I think Cal Allen's being given a shot here against one of the worst teams in football. They were the worst team last year. Might be again, if not for Miami, probably the second worst team. If Cal Allen shows anything, there's going to be a QB controversy in Carolina if he shows anything, because Cam's never going to run again. He's never going to be that same running dynamic quarterback again. He's taken too many shots. That's over. That's why he's been trying to transition into a pocket passer. I really think they're trying to give this dude a week off to get his head right, because the uncatchable balls, the inaccuracy, he's never been the most accurate, but now it's gotten to a level where it's almost embarrassing and it's hindering the offense from having any success. And so if he's never going to run again, which I think everybody knows, them days is done, can Cam Newton really be a franchise pocket passing quarterback? I don't think Carolina believes he can be.
There are dual realities occurring to all your points, and let's add this layer. Here's one reality. This division is wide open. Only division in the NFC that doesn't have a 2-0 team. So we could catch up really fast. Here's the problem. If you go out there and lose this next game, you're 0-3. And since 1980, there's been 176 teams that started 0-3. Only six have made the postseason. And I was on one of those. And you know what it took for us to go from 0-3 to 10-6 and make the playoffs?
A new quarterback.
New quarterback.
Damn it!
So, Cam, man, I'm just telling you, brother, do the history on this. This is a tough place to be.
Answer your question, Whitlock. He can't just transform himself into a pocket quarterback. When he won MVP, he completed just under 60% of his passes. And in today's NFL, where you can't touch a receiver, that's very low. And so it's going to be hard for him to say, okay, now I'm going to turn in to a baby Drew Brees and complete 65% of my passes. And the quarterbacks now.
Last year, he completed the
highest percentage of his career last year. So give him love. And he was 62 MVP candidate before the injury.
And then you lose your next eight starts.
Yeah,
and so when
hurt.
You can complete 70% of your passes, if it's not translating into wins, it doesn't matter.
That's what it's all about, wins. Kyle Allen is not going to take Cam Newton's position.
Man, if Kyle Allen go out there and win these next two games,
I still say no. He's not going to take the spot. I mean, I don't believe that. I mean, I think the Carolina Panthers still look at Cam Newton as their guy. You know, even though he wears scarves, but I still think
don't do that.
We saw it. We had to see that. We had to see that. But I still think that he is their guy. I think it's like anything. You know, his head coach, I think more than anyone, wants to see him succeed. And I think it would, if him not playing well or playing hurt, it's almost like unfair. Like, I'm not healthy yet. I'm not at 100%.
But Eric, I want you to answer this. Seriously, man, you're one of the greatest players to ever play the game.
Ever.
And people had the expectation every week. And in order to be that player, it didn't matter how you were feeling, there was an Eric Dickerson standard of play. And if he was a little banged up here or there, you still were able to meet that standard. I think that's the question with Cam, is when he's not physically 100%, can he consistently play at a high level like the all-time greats? Some guys just, and again, you call it being weak, but it's not weak, but there's like a special power that the all-time greats have that maybe Cam doesn't have?
That's a great question, too, because it comes down to pride. It really does. It comes down to pride. Because it was a lot of times I was hurt, but I'm still going to give it 100%. I had some great games being hurt. I mean, the year I ran for 2,000 yards, I had a turf toe all year. No one knew that.
That's my point.
So, I mean, it comes down to like, I'm
turf toe, and you need your feet.
You know how bad turf toe?
You know
how bad
feet.
It is.
Oh, yeah, put the steel plates in them.
It's no joke.
That to me is the knock on Cam. Can he be consistent when he's not physically 100%? That's a legitimate question.
It is, and look, there was a day where everyone, I was in Los Angeles being a native, that thought Eric Dickerson is a Ram, forever a Ram. Trade happens, whatever it may be. Cam's in a different position. Some guys are really suffering from the curse of the gifted. You check your gauges. If everything's not feeling right, I'm a little off right now. Cam Newton has relied on such athleticism that now it's starting to lean where you better rely on fundamentals, and that's what he's trying to transition into. So I don't like to equate that this is a pain tolerance or a mental compartmentalizing issue. This is a guy who's like, whoa, I can't do the same things I've been doing my entire life. Will he be allowed an opportunity to change those things without losing all the equity he built?
Another organization. All right, Darnell, you got anything to add here?
Yes, sir. Speaking of Cam Newton, last week he was on Thursday Night Football, and tonight, as you guys mentioned earlier, it's the Titans and Jags. So let's talk Thursday Night Football Super 6. One of the questions for tonight is, which team will win and by how many points? So Whitlock, Marcellus, what you got?
I got the Titans.
Okay.
In a very low-scoring 17-14 shootout.
Yeah. Not many bullets. I'm going with the Titans as well. I think they beat the Jags, my former team, the Jags, 13-7. And please,
David. Oh, my God.
And Jalen, don't tweet at me. Oh, and Jalen doesn't give up those touchdowns.
You got a damn near unwatchable 13-7.
Did you see this? Jacksonville, Tennessee.
All right, defense guys, was
fun. I'll be with my
Before the game kicks off tonight, download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play Thursday Night Football Super 6 for free for a chance to win $25,000 of Terry Bradshaw's money.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Eric Dickerson and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Yeah. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
Yes, sir. Let's move to Dallas. The Cowboys released defensive end Taco Charlton yesterday. The former first-round pick has been inactive this season and earlier this week tweeted out, "Free me," before deleting it. He followed it up by tweeting, "Trust me, the last thing I want to do is to have to go to social media to get what I want so I can play football again." After he was released, Jerry Jones said, "Teams pay attention to what players do on social media and that it can cost them opportunities." So I want to ask you guys, do you think athletes are blind to how social media affects their careers, or do they just not care?
It's Taco Thursday.
You got a lot of homies hitting me up. I went to school in L.A., man. They've been hitting me up like, y'all better stay between the lines.
I think they're blind. And a little bit, I think they don't care, but I think they're mostly blind, and they've been led to believe that, man, social media is the way to go. It's where you show all your freedom and blah, blah, blah. And there are real repercussions. You leave a trail that executives and your bosses all follow. Look, I was an idiot. Yes. You know, go check out my Jeremy Lin tweet from 6, 7, 8 years ago that got me in a bunch of trouble. So I've been right where these guys are at. I don't want to down them. I was just as dumb, and I was older than them.
I'm glad you said that because I'm not going to be up here and be a hypocrite. But you know what? Let's be real. They're not blind, and I know they care. The problem is, let's be real about this. The hormones, the dopamine, the release, the control is the same as it is for anyone who has done something unlawful, unethical, or immoral. And we've all been there. I ain't gonna run our 10 lowest moments of our life, but we all do the same equation. I want that, and these are the consequences. You know what? I want that a little more, and I'll deal with the consequences. Adam Schefter talked about this. Every time he has a breaking news story, he's like, when I hit that send button, I see those hearts and those retweets and those likes going like casino slots, ching, ching, ching. And he's like, I just love it. And everyone has a different degree of that same receipt, that same reception with your interaction with social media. So in the moment, I think he did the same calculation a lot of us do, especially when you're young. You just think that you'll deal with the consequences and they are not as grand as they become. So I'm not going to kill them.
Are athletes blind? No, they're not blind. They know what they're doing. And it can help their career as well if they do things the right way. In this case specifically, he wanted to be released. He wasn't playing. This guy's hurt, suspended, and you couldn't get on the field. Do what you can to get released, and hopefully you get a chance to go play for somebody else. Now, on the flip side of that is they know when you put something out there, everybody's gonna get it right away. And if you're a good person, you do things the right way, it can actually help your career as well. And so social media can have a positive effect and a negative effect. It just depends on what you put out there and how you conduct yourself as a human being.
Why'd he delete it then?
His agent told him to.
Okay, no, I'm asking.
His agent.
Well, first of all, they're the Dallas Cowboys. They got a social media department. Everybody watches what the Dallas Cowboys do. I think in some points, they don't care. And I think in other ways, they're kind of stupid to it in a sense because, like you said, it can help you and it can hurt you in a lot of ways. It can help you if you put the right things out there, you're saying the right things. If you do something dumb, and like the year is 2019, then 2025, that dumb, I didn't think much of that. Now, all of a sudden, that pops up again.
Yeah, you know what? My friend tells me this all the time when he's saying he's faced with temptation, something that he knows that may come with some consequences. He says, always look at temptation from the end at 1440. Caught me off guard. I was like, did quick math, 24 times 60 minutes. A day later, when you, right before you're about to hit it, think about a day later. Do you want that? And I don't mean just online. I mean in your life. When you're about to go make that turn, when you're going to answer those three bubbles and it's 2:30 in the morning, you know you can make right go home, left go there.
Yep.
1440, man. Just think, in 24 hours, was it really worth it? To say something like that, that your agent could even talk you into deleting, you already knew that, though.
For this case specifically, Taco Charles, dude, Robert Quinn was suspended for 2 games. You're inactive. Randy Gregory is still suspended. You're inactive. Yeah. Tyrone Crawford ain't playing. You're inactive. At this point, he can't make it any worse for himself. Now, you go to another team and you don't play, it's on you, bruh. But right now, he's saying he believes he's good enough to play. He should have been playing. Obviously, the coaches thought otherwise. And so for him, go somewhere else and see if you can get on the field and change the course and direction of your career.
Yeah, I think he's saying they don't like me no matter what I do. Mm. If all these guys can go down and they still won't put me on the field, I want to burn this bridge and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And again, his agent talked him out of it for the very reasons Jerry's saying. It's like, hey, man, these other... The next Jerry Jones, he's not gonna like this either. He wants to keep in-house business in-house. He doesn't want it all out there over social media. So there may be one or two teams that are like, we don't wanna bother with Taco. And his agent's like, no, man, we want the whole field wide open to us. Cooperate with me a little bit here over social media. But again, I think Marcellus's point about that high we get from social media and the retweets and likes, it baits us all. Mm. I can still remember, I was in Las Vegas, hadn't had a drink when I sent that dumb Jeremy Lin tweet. And inappropriate Jeremy Lin tweet that I had to apologize for. And I could just remember thinking, oh, I'm gonna get a lot of retweets for this. And I was in I had to be in my early 40s.
Yeah.
I was that kind of stupid.
Yeah. I'm so glad. I'm so glad when I was young, there was no social media. I'd have probably been suspended so many times. I probably wouldn't even play.
Yeah, but there's
all of us.
But no, I don't like that because we had our own variables to deal with and we managed to be professional and not step in it too often. Let's just be real. If you're sitting in class and you're like, this class is not for me. My teacher's not receiving my work well. She keeps giving me bad grades. You don't stand up in the class and say, I want out of here. You quietly go upstairs to the admissions office or principal's office, the dean. Like, that's not hard. And we didn't have social media, but we know that you can't always destroy situations.
You know what's right, you know what's wrong.
You know what's wrong. What's that?
Eric Dickerson and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Let's move to Kansas City, where the Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs will host Lamar Jackson and the Ravens Sunday. Lamar has been a new man so far this season, lighting up the league through the air in the first 2 weeks. And yesterday, Andy Reid had nothing but praise for the league's top-rated passer, saying, quote, the kid is a heck of a player. He's a talented kid. To work with the coordinators and the quarterback coaches, they've opened up the gate for him. They're doing a million different things, and he's doing it well. And it looks like he's loving doing it. Mm. All right, the question here is...
See Andy Soul Reed. Andy been in the hood out there in KC, huh?
Should Chiefs be worried about Lamar Jackson's arm?
Absolutely. Last year, Lamar Jackson went out to Kansas City, had his worst completion percentage performance of the year, second road game of his career, fourth overall start, and went toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs. And he wasn't fully comfortable in the offense, and he certainly wasn't playing at this level right now. And that was the result? Oh, you let me go out there this year with this level of confidence, with the way that the team is performing, why wouldn't he go out there and just say, I'm ready for it? And I think that that's where he is. And I know the Chiefs said, look, we had a lesser version of this guy last year, and they damn near beat us. Don't you go out there sleeping on this kid, because the kid is multidimensional and talented.
Yeah, they should be worried about his arm. The way he's playing and the way he's improved, it's almost scary if he can really consistently continue to throw the ball like this. But you say they did play the Dolphins and they have played the Cardinals. And so you have to say that because those teams are that bad. But the thing is this,
since Lamar Jackson has been a starter with the Baltimore Ravens, they've averaged 228 yards a game rushing. And so you got to pick your poison. Like, this ain't college. This the NFL. Bro. 228 yards per game in the NFL? So you really want to make him throw it just so that they're one-dimensional.
Thank you.
You know, when Ozzie Newsome, when he picked Lamar, I call him that. I said, so tell me, you know, is he a real quarterback? He said, this guy is going to be the guy. You know, and he said for the reasons, he said, people look at him as a runner. He say he has a great arm. I said, he said that he will learn how to become a quarterback. You see, he put on weight this offseason. Right. He looks more like a fit quarterback. So I say for sure they have to be worried about his arm and his legs.
And I think Andy Reid is saying a lot of very nice things, appropriate things in the media. I think when he gets in the meeting room with his players, he's far less appropriate and far less they're going to make Lamar beat them with his arm because they don't think he can do it. They don't think he can survive a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. They're going to take away this running game. Lamar Jackson ran 16 times for 120 yards last week. The whole damn Arizona defensive staff should be fired over that. You can't let some college quarterback come out there and just run the ball down your throat. That's crazy. And again, Lamar Jackson has been a much improved passer this year. He's made some incredible throws, but the Chiefs are going to want to make this dude do it for an entire four quarters with Patrick Mahomes on the other sidelines. I don't think they think he can do it.
I think they do. I disagree with that. And even to indict Arizona in the way that they approached it, it's schematic. It's the same thing if you think about Eric Dickerson. And Eric Dickerson had all the abilities. He could run you over. He could run by you. And that's what this offense is. We can run it down your throat, or we can now throw it, because how are you going to play? Is it 8 man in the box? Is it 9 man in the box? So that just opens up acreage. And if you look at a team that's multidimensional like this, they just keep you off balance enough to exploit you. So I'm not saying that they're going to go out there and win this game or exploit them, but the fear is certainly in your heart when you're facing him, because if you crowd the box, he can't throw it. He will dart it over you.
I got to see him do it 60 minutes. And if I'm Andy Reid, I got to see him do it for 60 minutes.
He did it in overtime, too, last
you
year.
Want, everybody that they play is going to have this game plan is, if we let them start running the ball, number one, Kansas City, if we let them run the ball, that's less possessions for Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to eat up the clock. Mm-hmm. So we'd rather say, okay, we're going to crowd the box, and if you can beat us, throwing the ball, it's going to be a shootout then, because we're going to score too. So now you score, okay, Pat Mahomes get the ball. Now we're going to go down and score. We can't let you just run the ball, eat up the clock, and limit our possessions. And so Andy Reid is going to say, we're going to stack this box. We're going to give them different looks. But every look we give them is designed to stop the run.
We're saying the same thing. You're just picking your poison. You're just basically saying.
My poison is going to be, let's try to give my quarterback maximum possessions. And I can't do that if I'm letting them run the ball.
Right. I think they're going to do what they do best. And they do run the football, but I think, if, like you said, if they give him the pass, they're going to take it. It's no way he can match throwing the football with Mahomes.
So they're going to play eight, nine in the box.
That's not going to happen. But, like you said, if they can keep them on the field, keep their offense on the sideline, keep Mahomes on the sideline, that's what they want to do, because that way it limits the scoring they can do. We can eat up that clock. He said, eat the clock up.
Look, I think someone said earlier this week, I don't think Frank Clark has a sack yet. Yeah. That's a problem for Kansas City. They need to put hands on Lamar Jackson, and that means eight in the box. That means there's going to be some blitzes. They are going to run game blitzes. They're going to do everything in their power to shut down that running game and make Lamar make throws with people at his feet. It's been great what he's done against the Dolphins and the Cardinals. I cannot wait to see him do it against the best team in the AFC. If he does it, hats off and the sky's the limit.
Well, y'all,
if he does it, hats off and the sky's the limit.
You caught
but
that
Patrick
too.
Mahomes is on the other sidelines. I just don't think he can go throw for throw with him. There's gonna be some turnovers.
Well, look, the Ravens lead the NFL in scoring. Two, Lamar Jackson has the longest streak of 178 pass attempts, no interceptions. Three, go back to week three last year, Patrick Mahomes, when you just couldn't believe your eyes, but it was telling you he's real. Like, I remember that because everyone was, and they're doing it to Lamar Jackson, and the problem is, he was not that good last year and went to overtime with the same NFL MVP. Now he's this guy. Y'all gonna sit there and say, I don't think he can go throw for throw. Him and Patrick Mahomes are the only two guys in NFL history, 70% completion, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions in their first 2 games. Him and the guy he's playing against. We can't keep slighting this
Ain't
dude.
Ain't nobody saying it's a slight. It's how would you rather lose? Running the ball, we get 7 possessions.
Yeah.
Throw the ball, we might get 10 to 11 possessions. That in Baltimore defensively, now people got to take Earl Thomas is a safety. And with him being as good as he is, he's not going to make it easy on Patrick Mahomes. And so it's not going to be as easy as people think where, okay, Tyreek Hill, he's not playing. Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watt. Earl Thomas is going to have something to say about that. But me personally, I got to give Patrick Mahomes maximum possessions, stop the run, force him to throw.
But you're also saying what Baltimore is going to try to minimize his possessions, and that's why I think they're going to come out there and try to stuff this running game down the Chiefs' throat, and that's why I think the Chiefs are going to do everything in their power to stop it. And at some point, I don't know which quarter it's going to be, third or fourth quarter, is going to come down to Lamar, can you do what Patrick does? Can you go up and down this field the way you need to very quickly? I'm going to lean on Patrick Mahomes. I got to see it. The ball comes out of this kid's hands different. I just got to see Lamar Jackson. I've never seen the ball come out of a good quarterback's hand the way it does his. I got to see it against the best competition.
You know what helps too? You know, Kansas City, outside of New Orleans and Seattle, is probably the hardest place to play for crowd noise.
Woo!
And so what's going to help Baltimore is if they are able to run the ball, because now it lessens the communication that he has to have with all the rest of the players on the team. And so if he's able to run the ball, it does take the crowd out of it, because playing in Kansas City is no joke with that crowd noise.
I'll go back to what I said. They're going to do what they do. They run the football. They're going to run it. They're going to throw it short. You know, you say it comes out of his hands.
Different.
But you know what? His passes are tight. I mean, they really are. They're right on the line. It's not like it comes out like wobbly. It's a nice. You might not like the way he throws.
But it's getting there.
But it's getting there.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna find out a couple of different things. I'm not a big believer in the Chiefs defense. Hitchens is still out there at linebacker. It drives me crazy. And so we're gonna find out if the Chiefs have a real defense, or if they improved at all. Scheme switch. New personnel. We're going to find out if that's improved. And I think we're going to get a lot closer to the truth about Lamar Jackson. Is he the next guy? Is he the next Russell Wilson? Is he on the same level as Deshaun Watson? I'm not ready to go there yet.
Well, you said you're going to lean on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Don't do that, big guy. Don't do that. Just me and you shouldn't be leaning on anybody. Let's go deeper analysis in the last year game when he had less confidence and less experience and less of an offense. Game-winning drive, he fumbled. Getting to overtime, gets hurt. Damn, didn't even finish the game. And they still almost won that game. They lost by 3. I'm just telling you, simple mathematics and the confidence translation. You're thinking that this year, they're going to do something, get over that hump.
All right, before we go, I'd like to address Colin Kaepernick's most ardent supporters in the media. The ones yelling this week the NFL is unfair because Cap remains unemployed. They're the people I refer to as Kaepernicks, the people donning Superman capes in defense of the symbol formerly known as Colin Kaepernick, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali. Kaepernicks, you might be fooling the idiots who interpret the world through social media, but smart people see through your racial facade. You don't care about the advancement of black people, particularly black men. You care about the perception that you care about the advancement of black people. You care about pleasing your puppet masters who would like to see the NFL removed from its perch atop American popular culture. You care about a political agenda designed to thwart patriarchy, or as you call it, toxic masculinity. You cape for Cap for what it says about you, not because of what it does for black people. This is true of both black and white Kaepernicks. They both suffer the same guilt, share the same ideology, and are equally lazy. Sustainable advancement is the byproduct of motivation, creation, and innovation. That's why the NFL has done and will continue to do far more to advance the position of black men than all the whining Kaepernicks combined. The Football League, the Kaepernicks label as racist and grossly unfair to their non-speaking fearless leader, is the same league that relies on an employee base of 70% black players. It's the same league that pays Russell Wilson the most money and soon will elevate Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes above Wilson. It's the golden era of light-skinned and black quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Jacoby Brissett, Kyler Murray, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, and maybe Cam Newton will all join Prescott, Mahomes, and Wilson in starting lineups this weekend. So let me get this straight. The NFL is the most popular TV show on 5 different television networks, and you want me and us to demonize it when its black stars have never been more valuable and more prevalent in sports' highest position of on-field leadership and power? All because the Juicy Smollett of football decided he wanted to enhance his brand by protesting police misconduct at a football stadium rather than at City Hall? This is like being served a bad burrito at Taco Bell and going to McDonald's to complain about it. But it will get more attention than McDonald's. So, it's still stupid and won't do a damn thing about Taco Bell's burritos. But at least we're talking about it. And that's my point. Kaepernick and Kaepernicks just want to be discussed. They don't want change or advancement. They want retweets, likes, follows, and a conversation focused on their alleged desire to promote black advancement. Meanwhile, better than any other American industry, the NFL keeps helping the black man advance through opportunity. Caping for Cap is an easy way to create a feeling of self-righteousness and the perception you speak truth to power from the safety of your keyboard and talk show studio. Caping for the NFL is proof you recognize the inevitable fallout from one man's unplanned, hey, look at me protest shouldn't turn you against an industry where black men are excelling. That's easy for me to say. I actually believe in doing things that help black people advance.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Greg Jennings is back with us. Let's look ahead to this weekend. Sponsored by the Spark Cash Card from Capital One, both the Steelers and the Saints will be underdogs this weekend, with both future Hall of Fame quarterbacks Big Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees out for the foreseeable future. Mason Rudolph will be leading the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road this week against the 49ers, while the Saints haven't even named their starter yet, still deciding between Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater on the road against the Seahawks. Question here is, better chance of pulling off the upset with their backup quarterback, Steelers or the Saints?
Ooh, I'm going to go to you, Greg.
Yeah,
because I don't think neither one of them going to win. But I'm gonna
really?
Let you talk.
No. Well, who's got the better chance?
Exactly. It's the better chance. And I will go with the Saints. I will go with the Saints. And here's why. When you look at Sean Payton, he's already at work. When he's asked about Taysom Hill being the second option, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're assuming that he's the second guy. So he's already putting pressure on the Seattle Seahawks defense to prep and prepare for two guys. Now, mind you, I believe that Teddy's going to be the primary guy, but there was things last week, and I like Sean Payton, but there was things last week that I saw on Teddy Bridgewater that was a little concerning. When I played with Teddy Bridgewater as a rookie, I had a conversation distinctively saying, Teddy, you have to feel it, not see it. Meaning, when you drop back and you feel it, you got to let that ball go. You can't see it because at this level, at that point, the defender sees it, everybody else sees it, and that window of opportunity closes. So I think if he can take that next step with Sean Payton putting together a plan that will consist of both of these guys being involved, they have the better chance.
It sounds like you made the opposite argument, though, in terms you gave me a reason why. I love the points you made about Teddy Bridgewater, can he feel it? Because that is the game for feel at that position. Mm-hmm. And that's my question about Teddy And that's why I lean the Steelers. Joe Staley out for the San Francisco 49ers. Steelers fall into 0-3, desperation on their part. And I just think Seattle is better than San Francisco.
I'm going with the Saints, and I'm going with that combination of what you said, the experience and the wild card of Taysom Hill. If you think about what they have in terms of that shared experience, whatever that may be, that may lessen the pressure on them. If you ever think about the dynamic where players always say, all I need is to take the first hit, people always take that as like this physical dimension or this physical encounter. It's really upstairs. You just want to make sure I survive that. It's going to be all right.
It's cool.
Everything good. I'm good now. And guess what? When you go out there and it's a shared experience, and I'm not saying I wish bad on Taysom Hill or Teddy Bridgewater, but one of them going to look at the other one and say, oh, he just threw that in the dirt. Oh, it ain't that bad. Oh, he just threw a good play. I could do that. Oh, it ain't that bad. Like, they're going to take hits together that brings a relief to that pressure. And you look at the 49ers, this is why I'm not going with you and the Steelers. That's the only team in the NFL that hasn't had a three and out yet. Damn Kyle Shanahan out there calling some offense, right? Hey, so it's going to be tough, man.
Look, we talked about Kansas City being a tough place to play. Seattle, tough place to play. Pete Carroll's defense, Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Garoppolo's nice. San Francisco, that crowd, that
But then you start to look on the opposite side of the ball and say, well, which defense do you trust more? And I look at the Saints, and I'm like, I trust that defense more to make sure we have opportunities with these two guys that we're going to come at you with versus a young, pretty much a rookie in terms of experience when we talk about Mason Rudolph, because this is his first starting experience in his career. So we don't know what to expect. And he has a young supporting cast around him.
Greg, I want to circle back to your point about Bridgewater because I think it's an – we don't have a lot of time, but I think you hit on something that's – separates the bad quarterbacks from the good quarterbacks. Some guys can feel it, some guys have to see it.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a big arm, and I think that's what hinders him a lot of times. The ability to see, he knows it. And it's just, like we saw last week, there was throws that was there. Teddy, let that ball go right now because you don't have that big arm. You don't have that Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger arm where you can just wait and laser it in there after seeing it. There aren't a lot of quarterbacks in this league that can do that. The Patrick Mahomes, yes. But other guys have to get it out right when they know it's going to happen.
Uncle Jimmy's here. He's going to help me do an approval rating on our man Marcellus Wiley, who's been in a controversy this week. Your big dummy of the day, I'm sure, after all the heat Marcellus took.
Controversy.
You're going to jump on board with Jalen Ramsey, I'm sure.
Well, big dummy of the day, go to the person that once again dropped that Thursday tacos.
Can't do that.
And every time you do that, you're going to get the big dummy. And you also know that LeBron has a patent on that, so you just keep on playing with
it. No, that didn't go through.
You're going to learn.
That didn't work.
All right, let's talk about our guy, Marcellus Wiley, who got into it with Jalen Ramsey's agent, David Mugaleta, on Twitter after pointing out on the show yesterday that Ramsey hasn't been the dominant corner everyone thinks he is. All right, Marcellus, do you expect Ramsey to prove you wrong tonight?
Oh, absolutely, man. It's prime time. Only game in town. Going against the Tennessee offense that wasn't limited in week one, but, you know, in terms of talent and the receiving core, I think that Jalen Ramsey should go out there and ball. Like I said before, he's a beast. At the same time, he has to play within the system that doesn't always support his greatest talents, which is press man. But, yeah, he's going to ball out.
I think the Titans are going to surprise some people. I think they're actually a halfway decent team.
Yeah.
I'm not so convinced Jalen Ramsey has a big night. But, Uncle Jimmy, you think Marcellus gets proven wrong tonight?
Hell yeah, I do.
Who are you?
Yeah.
And first of all, Marcellus, I could be wrong, but I know you had a cup of coffee in the NFL. So you know good and damn well you do not call out an NFL cornerback. I'm shocked that you would have the nerve, the devastating gall. Hey, look here, man. You from Compton. Just like your boy from Richard Sherman. Just like Richard Sherman, right?
Yeah.
I would have thought for sure he taught you something better than that.
I'm older than him, though.
Hey, what happened when Michael Crabtree put his mouth on Richard Sherman?
Mediocre. Mediocre.
What happened? We all remember.
I love it.
I'm going to tell you what. If you don't remember, wait until after the game tonight. And Jalen Ramsey getting interviewed by Aaron Andrews.
Uh-oh.
And he's going to be like, don't you ever talk about me. Don't you ever talk about me again. Don't ever come up to me talking about some second-rate reporter like Marcellus Wiley. This is what you get when you mess with me. This is what you get. You hear me, Dark Ellis? This is what you get.
What'd you call him, Dark
Ellis? I'm warning you. L-O-B. L-O-B, man.
Hold on. L-O-B, Legion of Boom. He's going to, what is L-O-B?
Look out, man. I'm warning you. And I'm gonna tell you right now, I think you owe me, you owe J-Ram, you owe the Kansas City Chiefs Kingdom an apology. How dare you sit up there and put that bad juju out into the airwaves? Talking about Chiefs shouldn't sign Jalen Ramsey. You just sitting there putting that ism out there just cause you can. Now you got Andy Reid second guessing his game plan. Hey. Look here, man. Kansas City ain't got this excited about signing a cornerback since my nephew got him excited about signing Ty Law. Ty Law was 50. Now you want to sit up here and start all this ism talking about Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey's in his prime. He's a Thundercat. He's a big dog. He's what we call a slump buster. You understand me?
Slump buster.
When you're down, you need somebody to help you out. We're going to get Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, man. I can't.
I don't understand the slump buster deal.
I like that. Even though they
Uncle
win
Jimmy,
it.
You got to transition here. We got to give our approval rating
for
Marcellus Wiley.
Sit here. I just take this?
Job performance, I'm going to give him a 23.
Okay.
He's got smoke going everywhere with Kaepernick, with Jalen Ramsey everywhere.
Feel it.
All-time greatness, you know, I'll give him an 11.
11? 11? I haven't won an Emmy.
He only made three Pro Bowls.
Oh, you!
Wow.
Character, I'll give him a 22, and authenticity, I'll give him a 23. 79, almost GOAT.
Damn.
Uncle Jimmy,
too close.
He's an all-star.
An all-star, you got him same as me.
The only thing I quit. I mean, you know, and I give him, you know, his authenticity. That's what I give him. Cause now he can't jump on Jalen Ramsey's bandwagon, but he'll damn sure jump on the Big Baller Brand bandwagon. Now I don't know if y'all noticed or not. He ain't been the same since Big Baller went under. I don't know if he lost some money in that deal or what. But he don't want to jump on this bandwagon with us.
I see Marcellus has been on the internet. He's got self-rated and GOAT status in our poll.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.